Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our studies on the subject, the Christian security. And in this security, we're not talking about hope. We're talking about the things that we already have. Now, we have hopes for the future, spiritual hopes, hopes that we want to see realized. But we are talking now about what we have. And listen to the subjects which we have covered already, and we're going to cover the fourth one today. We have, this is not hope, we have a word of God that cannot change, because God doesn't change. We have a Lord that cannot die. We have a life that cannot end. We have a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and that's our subject for today. And we're going to talk about a love that cannot falter and a power that cannot be resisted, cannot be repelled. We pray that these subjects will help us to realize what advantage there is in knowing the Lord. We have security as no one else has it. Now, in regard to the kingdom that cannot be moved, we're going to be reading in Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 25. The apostle writes, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth." And he's talking about Sinai and how that mountain shook, and even Moses' legs trembled and shook. But now he has promised, saying, "Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And this word, "yet once more," signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken, may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now, actually, the word in the margin is shaken, just like it was above in this scripture. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace and peace, incidentally. It's sure, we have it, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, let's talk about the security that we have in that kingdom that cannot be shaken. We read in Gospel of John, chapter 18, and verse 36, an utterance of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was before Pilate, the Roman judge, and it's just before his crucifixion. And we're going to read it as it is recorded in the St. James, or the authorized version. Here it is, 18 and 36. Jesus answered, and he answered to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And the New International Version has it, "it is from another place." All right. Now, this kingdom cannot be moved. It's a spiritual kingdom. And the child of God is in that kingdom right now. Christ is the king, and he reigns in our hearts. Now, he's not reigning on earth yet. He will do that during the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he's ruling in our hearts. This sets our hearts free so that indeed you and I can serve him. We might have grace and serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We are sure of the outcome because we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It is spiritual. Now, we've already covered the territory, and I'm not going to spend much time on it, but we enter that kingdom by a spiritual birth. We are born again by the Spirit of God, as we read in John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The Lord is talking to Nicodemus. This will be familiar ground to many of you, but some may have tuned in the broadcast for the first time today. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, we were born into man's family and given a sinful nature. We are born into God's family by the power of the Holy Spirit. The moment that we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He has settled all the claims of God against us, when He died on that cross for our sins, the moment that we believe that and rest in the hope, just resign ourselves to the fact that the problem is already settled to the glory and the satisfaction of God. When we believe that, the Spirit of God takes the life of Christ and puts that life within you and me, and that life is eternal. We have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We cannot be shaken away from the Lord, and the Lord can't shake, very obviously. All right, let's go on now. Now, the human being is composed of body, soul, and spirit. God alone gives us our souls. I want you to think about this, and our spirits as well. We read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 there, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now we read in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4 where the Lord says, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth it shall die." God gave us our souls and our spirits. We're a triad. We're composed of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. Now, our parents gave us our bodies, granted, biologically. But God gives us our souls and our spirits. They don't come from our parents. That, as we've read there in Ezekiel and in Genesis, God is the one that gives us our souls and our spirits, and they live forever. This is a very sobering thought. Everybody that's listening to this broadcast, I can go farther than that, everybody that's in this world has a soul and a spirit that is going to live forever in conscious existence. Do we know God? Are we going to be in heaven? Have we accepted His Son? Or are we going to reject Him or just neglect Him and end up in sinner's hell? Oh, it's so serious. These souls and our spirits are going to be conscious forever. We're just not going into oblivion when we die. We're going into another experience. And we'd better be ready for it. We'd better prepare now. We have time. All right, let's go on. We have fellowship with kindred spirits. Oh, I forgot to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, as a basis for all of this, where Paul writes there, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We live in a spirit world. There needs to be a spiritual emphasis in our lives. Now, I know we're connected with this world. The Lord Jesus tells us and warns us to pay our taxes. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. We have two spheres to live in this world, in the spiritual world. Let's give the spiritual world the emphasis. Now, we have warfare in this kingdom, and I'm not going to turn to it, but in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, we read there about that warfare. "We war not with flesh and blood, but with spiritual powers in the heavenly places." Satan is warring against us in a spiritual name, in a spiritual way, because he's a spirit. And we are being subject to being distracted from the life that really counts, the spiritual life. And we want to read that in the Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 again, and emphasize it. We read it on our last broadcast, but it deserves emphasis. "Since ye be then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, for your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. Now we have a new sphere, now that we're born again, a spiritual sphere, and God wants us to fellowship with Christ in heaven. Now we have two spheres. We don't want people that are so heavenly minded. We don't want to be people that are so heavenly minded that we're no earthly use. We have responsibilities in both spheres, but let's not forget the spiritual sphere. Let's talk a little about our service in that kingdom in the coming day. Now we read in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 19, the Lord gives a parable to his disciples because he knows he's going to leave them and he's going to be gone for some time. We read in verse 11, as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive the kingdom and to return. Now he calls his 10 servants and he gives to those 10 servants a pound apiece. Now this is a value, a great value of money. And let those 10 servants, they all started out equal, a pound apiece. One man gained 10 pounds. One man gained 5 pounds. One man hid his pound because he was lazy, and he blamed it on his Lord because his Lord was a hard man. A feeble excuse indeed. And it was against his Lord. We are preparing now in our faithfulness in that spiritual sphere of the responsibility we will have with Christ in his kingdom, when he comes to reign for 1,000 years. We're preparing ourselves now. Now this is practical, and we want to search our hearts out for this, because this is our last opportunity to serve the Lord. And we want to emphasize these things with all the power of our being. We are in this world for a purpose. Now we can serve other people, and I think the love of God would have us do that. We're going to be talking in our next broadcast. We have a love that does not falter. It's God's love to you and to me, and he has given us that love. And as he has served us in the wonderful things that he has done for us, he expects us to serve one another right down here. Now these things are real. I wish I could convey somehow the thought in mind of the real things in our lives are the spiritual things. This world doesn't amount to much. We read there in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it's passing away, it's temporal. But the spiritual things are real. Let's give those things the true emphasis in our lives. Our Father, we pray by the power of the Spirit of God that you will impress these thoughts upon us for our obedience and for our eternal blessing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.